كم سنة عمرك؟ تفضل سينا، كم سنة عمرك؟ 2 بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. Excuse me. So we have reached verse number 59 in our brief reflections on Surah Yasin, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَامْتَازَ الْيَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ. Stand apart on this day, O guilty ones. And what preceded from verses 55 to 58, Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ الْيَوْمَ فِي شُغْلٍ فَاكِهُونَ. The inhabitants of the garden on that day will be busy rejoicing. هُمْ أَزْوَاجٌ فِي ذَلَالٍ عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ مُتَّكِئُونَ. They and their spouses seated on couches in the shade. لَهُمْ فِيهَا فَاكِهَةٌ وَلَهُمْ مَا يَدَّعُونَ. There they have fruit and whatever they ask for. And then this great blessing, سَلَامٌ قَوْلًا مِنْ رَبٍ رَحِيمٍ. Peace, a word from a merciful Lord, the merciful Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we spoke in detail about that, some of the pleasures associated with the people of paradise, and how that when the believers are greeted by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, this is one of the greatest blessings of all, especially as it's accompanied with a gaze upon the noble countenance of our Lord Jalla Jalalu. And then that those verses which end with the utmost beauty is that right after that, in verse number 59, that we have a very majestic verse. وَامْتَازَ الْيَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says, stand apart on this day, O guilty ones. It can also be translated as sinners. That, looking carefully at two of the words that we have here, wamtazu and al-mujrimun. Wamtazu is that it stems from a root, maza yamizu, mazan wa mizatan. And it essentially is to separate or to keep apart. Fasala ba'duhu min ba'd. And so the Arabs would say that miz al-da'an min al-ma'az. Oh, miz al-khabith min al-tayyib. And separate the da'an from the ma'az. Separate the pure from the impure. And this is why we get the word that miza is a distinguishing quality, a distinguishing trait. Comes from this idea that someone is separated from another based upon that particular trait that they have. And then Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Ali Imran, مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَذَرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَى مَا أَنْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ حَتَّى يَمِيزَ الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ. Allah Ta'ala speaks about that separating the khabith, the bad from the tayyib, the good here. And that Nasrallah Ta'ala salam and afiyah may we be from those who that are tayyib. And so the idea of that this root word is one of separation, one of keeping apart. And if you take it to the ifta'ala form, such that it's imtaza, a i'tazara wa infarada aw ban min ghayri la yakhtalat wa la yaltabas. And this is why it's translated here as stand apart. It's a type of separation still, but it's a type of separation such that there is no mixing after that. So that these two things are separated, or even in the context of people, are separated, and there's no more mixing, and one is distinguished after that from the other because they've been separated. So, وَامْتَازُ الْيَوْمُ. Stand apart on this day. And this is why in some translations of the meanings of the Quran you find day here capitalized, because this is not just any yom, this is al-yom, that this day. And so that you could legitimately put a capital D there on this day. When we are all brought to that the plane of reckoning, and that we're all going to be judged for everything that it is that we did, And then, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Afiyah, that the address is to the Mujrimun. And the Mujrimun, here translated as guilty ones, could also mean sinners. They're the ones who have sinned. And it comes from a root word, Jarama Yajrimu Jarman, which means that Jana Thamarahu, if someone takes the fruit from the tree, and that they cut the fruit off of the tree, and that specifically here though, that the Jarama is the bad fruit of the tree. Okay, they're welcome to sit up here in the front here. The Jarama is the bad fruit that from the tree. And so when it takes the fourth form, Ajrama, is that it, that it's like Athmara, and that it is given fruit. And so that bad fruit becomes a state that is in someone, that then, that Ajrama, it's as if that they are then producing that bad fruit that was taken from the tree, and so that is used for anything that someone does that is wrong. So Ajrama. And the Mujrim, even though it's used in modern Arabic that as a criminal, is that here it's in criminal in a religious sense. In other words, is that the sins that they then commit. And so that Imam Fakhruddin al-Razi, that speaks of that this verse, and he points out that different meanings that could possibly happen here. That Wumtaza al-Yawma ayyuha al-Mujrimun, stand apart on this day, that O guilty ones. That he says, Amtazu fi anfusikum wa tafarruku. And so that this is a state that relates to their own self. In other words, is that there's a separation that takes place internally as a result of the remorse of wishing to have that lived differently and made different decisions while they were here on earth. And that he relates that verse in Surah Al-Mulk, Takadu tamayyuzu min al-ghayth. It's a description of the fire, nasallahu ta'ala as-salama wal-afiyah, is that it's about to that split into pieces, that yataqatta be from that its rage and its wrath. And so it's as if is that people are about to be separated into pieces as a result of that remorse that they had for the decisions that they made. So the first opinion is that wamtazu al-yawm, that stand apart, that relates to the internal state, and you'd have to probably find a different way to translate that, because that they in of themselves that separate into pieces out of their remorse. Now, and then that the other next opinion is imtazu anil mu'minin, is that this is where stand apart, a physical separation from the believers. So there's a physical separation of the people of belief from the people of disbelief. And that, according to this opinion, this will take place when the people of disbelief see the reward right before their eyes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving the believers. And that they will, that want that, of course, and want to be in their place. But then they'll be separated. And they'll be told that they can't let have what it is that they have. So they're separated. No. And then another opinion is, امتازوا بعضكم عن بعض, that in other words is that it is that the normal state of the human being is that we like to be with other people, and we like to have relationships with other people, and that here it's that a separation, that no longer that are you going to be with your loved ones. وَمْتَازُوا بَعْضُكُمْ عَنْ بَعْضٍ. In other words, is that no longer can you come together. Is that those whom you love, those whom you want to be with now, that you are separated. No. And they refer to this as that the Adhab al-Furqa, that torment that comes from separation. And we had mentioned this previously, how that when people realize what they could have had in paradise and receive the pleasures of paradise, is that the greatest torment is actually from that pain of separation of what they actually could have attained. And they know that they'll never ever be able to attain it. And Imam al-Razi points out something beautiful, or maybe we wouldn't necessarily describe it as beautiful, but beautiful from the standpoint of knowledge. He has very, very delicate and detailed insights. As that he says, is that the uqala, the people of intelligence, realize is that all types of adab, all types of, yes, you could say punishment or torment, but really here it's pain, they all stem from that separation from what was supposed to be connected. And so that you start to think about all of these different meanings of that. And that how that, say for instance, someone, the foundational state, they're in health, in a state of health, and then that they get a sickness that now is that they've been separated from their health in that sense. And so there's pain involved. Or that if, say for instance, someone that that has a wound of some sort, is that there's separation because that the physical place is not the same as it was before. And so it applies on all of these different senses at the level of the physical, but also at the level of our relationships. And so that separation ultimately is that what leads to all different types of pain. And then a fourth meaning of وَمْتَازَ الْيَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ, stand apart on this day, O guilty ones, is a امْتَازُ أَنْ شُفَعَائِكُمْ وَقُرَنَائِكُمْ, is that stand apart from those who you think are going to be there for you, and literally means to intercede, but those who you think are going to be there for you, those that you think are going to somehow take care of you, is that, no, they're not going to be able to help you this day. And this is why that we should think very carefully about whom we take the companionship of in this day. Who are we really that spending our time with? And that oftentimes people that develop relationships here in this world for protection, to have a group of people that can be there for them, especially when they be in need. But the reality of the next world is that all of those worldly considerations will not be there. That there's going to be separation. The believer is going to be separated from the disbelievers, and the disbelievers are going to be separated from other disbelievers. They're going to be lonely. And those people that you thought were your real friends, that you thought were there for you here in the world, and they might have been here for you in the world, if they're not there for you in the real sense of that word, is that that relationship won't mean anything yawm al-qiyamah. And that the people will say is that, as Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا لَيْتَنِي اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ رَسُولِي that sabila, a word that I too have that taken away that with the messenger. يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أَتَّخَذْ فُلَانًا خَلِيلًا, oh, were I not to have taken so-and-so as a close friend. People will regret that close friends that harm them on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So what we want is to that be there for, be with the people now whom we know are going to be there for us in the next world. And so that if you compare this to the Prophet ﷺ and those who are granted intercession on Yawm al-Qiyamah, is that anyone who's granted intercession, is it in the terms of the word being there for you, that is the greatest manifestation of being there for you, is when they intercede for you on the day when you're going to be in most need, which is Yawm al-Qiyamah. And the greatest manifestation of that is Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in all of his different intercessions, his intercession for people to enter into paradise without hisab, his intercession for people to that hasten into paradise after having deserved to be in the fire, his intercession for people of major wrong actions sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all of his different intercessions, and he has many, is that That is going to be the greatest manifestation of being there for someone, is on that day. And so we should reflect upon this, that we're going to part. And that, as Allah Ta'ala also reminds us in the Quran, يَوْمْ يَفِرُّ مَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ, the day that a man will flee from his brother, وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ, and his mother, and his father, وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ, and his spouse, and his own children. Ya Latif, is that flee, يَفِرْ is to flee. So all these relationships that we have now, is that they seem so real, they seem that they're that built upon something that is true. If it's not built upon taqwa, that it's not going to last. Anything that is built upon taqwa, any physical building, or that any that metaphorical that building or spiritual that edifice, is anything that's built upon taqwa, will remain. مَا كَانَ لِلَّهِ that it dama wattasal, anything done for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, will continue on and remain connected. وَمَا كَانَ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ إِنْ قَطَعَ وَانْفَصَلْ, anything done other than this, than for the sake of Allah, will cut off and be disconnected. It's a principle. And as you go through life, you'll see who your true friends are. You'll see who's really there for you and not, even in a worldly sense. But the key is that we be aware now and prepare for the next world. And that we want people to spend time with people now that are going to help us in the next world. And that there are many people who receive shafa'ah other than the prophets and the messengers that are indicated in that various narrations. That a that another meaning of this is that أي امتازوا أما ترجون واعتزلوا أن كل خير, is that someone will be separated from everything they hope for, and they will be that separated from every good. And so that being separated from our hopes, things that we want, hopes that we have on that day, وَمْتَازُ الْيَوْمِ, this is the day where there's going to be separation. You're going to be separated from all of your hopes and from all of the good that you had hoped to attain. Yeah. And that Imam Razi also mentions another meaning, that based upon a verse in Surah Ar-Rahman, that perhaps another meaning is امْتَازُ فَيُذْرَ عَلِيمْ سِيمًا يُعْرَفُونَ بِهَا, that in this particular moment is that there will be certain signs that appear upon these people, and that Allah Ta'ala refers to يُعْرَفُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ بِسِيمَاهُمْ, that the guilty or the sinners will be known that with their signs, and that perhaps that this is a reference to that. Now, this particular verse that we know, the great Tabi'i by the name of Sa'id ibn Jubair, he was that known to be the most knowledgeable of the Tabi'in al itlaq, that unconditionally, and that when he was killed by the Al-Hajjaj, you know, Ahmad ibn Hanbal said about him is that there was no one on the face of this earth except that he that was in need of his knowledge. In other words, is that somehow he had that a relationship to that person and having taught them something. And he was a student of Ibn Abbas and Ibn Umar, and he was known to have spent the entire night reciting this verse. وَمْتَازَ الْيَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ وَمْتَازَ الْيَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ وَمْتَازَ الْيَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ. And so the Salaf, those who came before us, that their understanding of tadabbur, of deep reflection upon the Qur'an, was much different than ours. And that they would sometimes spend that one, an entire night, or a good portion of a night, reciting one verse, and repeating it over and over, over and over, over and over. And that our Prophet was known to have repeated, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that in tu'adhibhum fa'innahum ibaduk, if you punish them indeed that they're your servants, he would repeat this over, can you raddidaha, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and repeat it over and over, over and over and over. And other companions are known to have repeated verses over and over again, and Sa'id ibn Jubair was known to have repeated this verse that over and over again. And then that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala in the 60th verse, as that he clarifies, is that why that they are being separated and they will stand apart from the others. And this is a type of tobich, a type of that rebuking of them as a result of what they did. And so Allah Ta'ala says, أَلَمْ أَعْهَدِ إِلَيْكُمْ يَا بَنِي آدَمَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. Did I not enjoin you, O children of Adam, that you not worship Shaitan? Truly, he is a manifest enemy to you. أَلَمْ أَعْهَدِ إِلَيْكُمْ. Did I not enjoin you? Did I not command you? Did I not charge you? And so, this will that be said to disbelievers on the Day of Judgment as a way of rebuking them. أَلَمْ أَعْهَدِ إِلَيْكُمْ. That did I not enjoin you, O children of Adam? And this word, that أَعْهَد, it comes from a root word, أَعْهِدَ يَعْهَدُ أَعْدًا. And this is to that make a covenant or to keep a vow or a pact, to make or to keep a covenant, pact or a vow. And Allah Ta'ala that tells us in Surah Al-Isra, وَأَوْفُ بِالْأَهْدِ, that fulfill your covenants, your pacts, your vows. إِنَّ الْأَهْدَ كَانَ مَسْؤُولًا. Indeed, you will be asked about your covenants, the things that you agree to and that you then need to fulfill. In other words, is that when you give your word, when you make a promise, covenants that you make, all these different meanings, we have so many different words for that, even in Arabic and in English. You have these words like pledge or pact or vow, covenant, contract, agreement, all promise, all of these different words we have in English. And that a true believer, that is someone who that lives up to that fulfillment of all of these things. If you make an agreement, that you fulfill your terms of that agreement. If you make a vow, you that go through with that and you fulfill it. If you make a pact, if you make a covenant, and that all your oath as well. So that this is the way of the believer, is that we fulfill our covenants and all of these other things that we do. And this is a very, very important point. And we should not be that people who distinguish between the person that who is on the receiving end of our vow or our covenant, whoever they are, whether they're Muslim or they're non-Muslim, whether they're intelligent or whether they're unintelligent, that whether it's easy to that somehow deceive them or not, all of the different distinction in relation to the person himself does not matter. Is that we maintain our principles in all different circumstances, even if other people that try to get over on us, even if other people on the receiving end will somehow that try to not fulfill their pledge or their oath or whatever else. We maintain our principles and we don't fall into that game. And we have to be very, very careful in doing so. And yes, we have to protect ourselves and to be wise, especially when we get involved in transactions and so forth, but we have to be careful because it's very easy to think that you can that maneuver in a particular way to come to some type of the conclusion that you are seeking. But we have to realize any time is that we are shady and we try to maneuver to come to some, even if you have think it's a short-term win, it's not going to be the case. Is that in the end, is that it's not going to be a good outcome. We have to always remember this. And again, despite what other people do, and especially if we are involved in business and we are making contracts and all of these types of things, we have to fulfill that our part of the deal. And so that these are different ways of translating the word ahad, covenant, pact, vow, and that that the greatest ahad of all is the ahad that was taken with us that on in the pre-earthly realm, standing before Allah on the day of Alastu bi Rabbikum. That is the greatest ahad of all. And that is the greatest covenant of all that we absolutely must fulfill. And all of the relative manifestations of fulfilling that covenant, some of which they were just pointed to, is that ultimately relate to fulfilling the greatest covenant, which is the covenant that all of us have taken that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that أَلَمْ أَعْهَدْ إِلَيْكُمْ يَا بَنِي آدَمْ. Did I not enjoin upon you, O children of Adam? Is that this covenant that has come to us from the messengers that is reminding us of that covenant that we've taken in the pre-earthly realm? Is that we have to be very wary, and very important is we should be very aware and conscious of attempting to fulfill it. So, alama ahadilaykum ya bani adama, and then what was enjoined upon us? Because in general here, this is one way of translating ahad, is enjoining upon us, commanding, that Allah charged us with it. What? Allah ta'bud ash-shaytan. Is that you not worship or serve Satan, shaytan. And it's the same word that we have for ibadah, abada ya'budu, to worship. And that this word was that there's a rhetorical, deep rhetorical value and deep wisdom in the use of this particular word. So Allah ta'bud ash-shaytan. And essentially, what ibadah of shaytan is obeying him. And obeying what? His insinuations when he whispers, and he adorns certain decisions to do such and such a thing, that when you realize that it's from shaytan, is that if you follow it, that it's a type of worship of him. And that we will look a little bit more that closely here, there's a very that detailed discussion, and the Tafsir al-Razi especially, where he says here, is that when Allah Ta'ala says لا تعبد الشيطان, do not that worship the devil, the meaning here is لا تطيعه, don't follow him, don't obey him. And he says here, and he brings this as by way of proof, is that what is prohibited, that أن أمني أنه ليس هو السجود له فحسب بل انقياد أمره. So that he's saying that here, by meaning worship, that obviously we don't prostrate to shaitan. That's obvious. So he's saying that because that's obvious, it must have another meaning. He says here, this is what it means, this meaning of obedience. And that by obeying him, it's a type of worship of him. And so here is that the word in Arabic for obedience is ta'a. And that there are people that we have been that commanded to follow and obey amongst creation. Obviously, we're supposed to obey Allah, but Allah Ta'ala says, Ati Allah. That obey Allah, wati'u rasulah, and obey the messenger, ulil amri minkum, and those in charge among you, in positions of authority among you. And so that ta'a must be something separate than ibadah. Obedience must be something separate than that worship, because that we are obeying that the Allah Ta'ala and the messenger of Allah and even people in authority, but we're not worshiping them. There's a difference between obeying someone and worshiping someone. And he says is that even that when someone's commanded to do something, like the way that Allah Ta'ala that commanded the angels to prostrate to Adam, is that because they were fulfilling the command of Allah and obeying Allah, they're not worshiping Adam. They were commanded to prostrate to Adam. But they weren't worshiping Adam because they were fulfilling the commandment of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And that this is not in the tafsir, but you could extend the same meaning, is that when we have been commanded to face the Qibla, is that outwardly that the Kaaba is made of stone. It is that one of the greatest of all of the sha'ar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that on earth, and it has one of the greatest sanctities of anything else on earth. However, is that Allah commanded us to that pray towards the Kaaba, and we prostrate right in front of the Kaaba, are we worshipping the stone? Hashalillah. Of course not. Is that we are that worshipping Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. And it's because we're fulfilling His command. Okay? And so, is that when it comes to shaitan, is that it is because of us following him time and time and time and time again, is that it is as if that we are worshiping him, right? Because that we continue to follow him, even though that we make that distinction between obedience and between worship. No. And then he brings up another that point here as well. That he says, فَإِنْ قِيلَ بِمَاذَا تَعْلَمْ طَعَةَ الشَّيْطَانِ مِنْ طَعَةَ الرَّحْمَنِ مَعَنَّ لَا نَسْمَعْ مِنِ الشَّيْطَانِ خَبْرًا وَلَا نَرَى مِنْهُ أَثَرًا. So he brings up this question, is that how can we distinguish between the obedience of shaitan and the obedience of the All-Merciful? And he says, نقول عبادة الشيطان في مخالفة أمر الله, is that worshipping shaitan is through contravening, going against what we've been commanded to do by Allah. أو الاتيان بما أمر الله لا لأنه أمر به, because of us going that against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has commanded us to do. And that he then says is that sometimes shaitan will that command you to do something that from within your own self, and sometimes that he will command you to do something that by whispering in the heart of someone else. And this is very important. So shaitan, his plot, sometimes we only think of it being within ourselves. And yes, that's one dimension of it. And that part here, as we already mentioned, of that avoiding the worship of shaitan is coming to learn the various thoughts of shaitan and the tendencies of those thoughts so that you can avoid him. And that Imam Ghazali in book 21 of the Ihya al-Mideen has that very in-depth, that comprehensive chapter about the madakhil of shaitan, the entrances, the entry points of shaitan into the heart. And there's that certain traits of waswasa. Shaitan is like a fox, extremely cunning. And that we have outdoors, or we did have quite a few chickens and a few roosters until the cunning fox that found a way in and that took the life of many of them. But we were here the other day and we all of a sudden hear the rooster making all these sounds, and the fox is trying to get into the cage again to get the remaining ones. And that anything you do, you close this door, he'll try to come from somewhere else. You go from here, he'll try to come from there. That if there are people, he'll try to come. And there's all different ways is that foxes will try to get to the chickens or whatever it is that they're hunting. And that this is the way shaitan is. He's sly like a fox. And he'll come at you from one way. And then once you close that door, he'll come at you from another way. And then he'll come at you from another way. And he might even come at you in the form of good, to get you to do a lesser of two goods. If he knows you're about to do a great good, he's going to try to distract you from that great good or get you to do a lesser good. And he'll also try to get you to do the worst of two evils. Is that if there's just one evil, he's going to try to get you just to go overboard and just to do something that even beyond that and something even worse. And that usually, almost always, with shaitan's waswasa, there's an agitated type feeling that we have that accompanies that waswasa. And that the problem is in following the thoughts of shaitan is that when you obey one and you follow it, he sends you then to other shayateen. And then who send you to other shayateen? Because Iblis has his host, he has his army of minions that try to lead human beings astray. And then they are just playing with you like a child plays with a ball, just doing whatever it is that you want. And when you reach that state, this is a type of worship, because then everything that you're doing ultimately is informed by the waswasa of shaitan. And the only way to overcome that the waswasa of shaitan is by the dhikr of Allah, by remembering Allah Jalla Jalala. That's how we overcome the waswasa of shaitan, and we combine with that a knowledge of his various plots. And then it requires muraqabah, vigilance of overlooking the heart. So what he's saying here is that shaitan can come from within you. He circulates inside of us like our blood. In other words, he has access to us. But he said shaitan can also come to you from another person. And this is where we have to be careful as well. And sometimes in that regard, our friends are even more dangerous than our enemies. Because you trust your friends. You lower your guard with your friend. You actually really listen to what it is that they're saying. And you think that, that actually might be good advice, when it really isn't. And so, is that shaitan could come that others to another person. And that's done simply by that him getting inside of that other person, and then that affecting them following that thought, and them somehow having an interaction with you. They could be your friend, or they could be, for instance, someone that is not so favorable towards you. So shaitan can come from within, or he could come from that outside of you. And he goes into this very nice description of the source of Shaitan's adawa, because Allah Ta'ala then goes on to say, إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ, that truly he is a manifest enemy to you. Adu is the word for enemy. That adawa is to show enmity towards someone. As Allah Ta'ala says in a hadith Qudsi, on the tongue of the Prophet ﷺ, مَنْ عَادَ لِي وَلِيًّا, it's the same word, whoever shows enmity towards one of my awliya, فَقَدْ أَذَنْتَهُ بِالْحَرْبِ, then indeed that I have that waged war against him. And so, he goes into details about the source of that. And the source of the adawa of Shaitan is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favored him over other people. There was takrim. Allah honored, look at karramna bini Adam, is that we have honored the son of Adam, the children of Adam. And as a result of this takrim, is that Shaitan was jealous. And as the way of his, what he responded to, how he responded to that, was he disobeyed Allah Jalla Jalalu. And then, that waged war, that only through the divine permission, of course, right to the children of Adam. And so that what Imam al-Razi says, he says, ثُمَّ إِنَّ كَذِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ عَلَى مَذْهَبِ إِبْلِيسِ, there's a lot of people who are following the madhab of Iblis. Shaitan has a madhab, right? He has a way. He has a school. And there are people that are initiated into the school of Shaitan. And that there's, just as there's principles of the awliya, there's principles of the shayateen that take human form. And so he said that Iblis has a madhab. And there are some people that are like this, is that their madhab is that they just can't bear that someone else has been honored, that someone else has been distinguished with something. And that this is why is that that initial sin, was it that hasad or was it kibar? Which one was it? Was it envy or was it arrogance? Okay. And that when it comes to the actual prostration to Adam, it was arrogance. But it seems that that arrogance stemmed from a hasad, a jealousy, that envy that he had, that he wasn't the one that was favored. And so that unfortunately that there are that many souls that are influenced by this. And that our Prophet ﷺ, that he said that dabba ilaykum that da'ul umam, or kama qala sallam, is that the civilizational disease of the heart has crept up to you. Look at the word he used. Dabba is to crawl. And that it connotes this idea of that being very subtle so that you don't even realize it. You don't necessarily hear the worm crawling or the little bug crawling. You look down, oh, you see the ant that just crawled or the bug that just crawled on that to your clothing. But you don't hear it crawling. Right? And so that this is a disease that creeps into the heart. But what did our Prophet say? He called it the da'ul umam, which is amazing. The civilizational disease. You could translate it like that. And what he means is that the vast majority of civilizations, this is what they've been afflicted with. One of the great and worst things is that the trait, a'udhu billah, the reprehensible trait of hasad, may Allah tabaraka ta'ala protect us and purify our hearts. And it's actually very easy, very, very easy to cure yourself from hasad. Just remember the words of Allah. أَمْ يَحْسُدُ النَّاسِ عَلَى مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Are they going to show envy and have envy that towards the ones that Allah ta'ala gave them from His bounty? It's as simple as that. You just realize, you remind yourself, subhanAllah, that Allah Ta'ala gives His bounty to whom He pleases. It's the fadl of Allah that so-and-so looks like this, or has this, or has attained this, or has gotten this opportunity, or whatever else. Khalas. It's as simple as that. And then you'll be protected from this if we could see it as being from that Allah Jalla Jalala. And I'm actually going to skip over this next part, but it was, there's, He makes this amazing comparison to the way that human beings incline towards acts of disobedience, and the way that sick people incline towards things that actually harm them. And he talks about the temperaments and so forth, and how that works. It's really amazing. But for time's sake, I'm going to Ya Latif. How did that get so late so quickly? Subhanallah. I'm going to skip over that. So in general, what Allah Ta'ala is saying in the verse is that, did I not enjoin upon you, command you, charge you, O children of Adam, that on the tongue of the messengers, that not obey Shaitan and his whisperings and his insinuations and what it is he's calling you to that disobey me and so forth and so forth, because his adawa is zahir. It is outward, it is apparent, and it is something that we need to protect ourselves from. And then Allah Ta'ala says in verse 61, وَنِعْبُدُونِي هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ, but to serve me. Okay, and so this is connected to what preceded, that Allah Ta'ala, did I not enjoin upon you, O children of Adam, that you not worship Shaitan, but وَنِعْبُدُونِي, in that you worship me, وَنِعْبُدُونِي, but to serve me. And so that ibadah is not of Shaitan, that ibadah is supposed to be of Allah Jalla Jalalu. U'buduni a wahiduni, that believe in that divine unity, wa ati'uni, and obey me. And so that this is ma'tuf, that this wow here is a conjunction that connects it to that the other command that preceded it. And that Allah Ta'ala says in other places in the Quran, for instance in Surah Al-Isra, إِنَّ عِبَادِي لَيْسَ لَكَ عَلَيْهِمْ سُلْطَانٌ, indeed, that my servants, is that you have no authority over them. That لَيْسَ لَكَ, who's the kafir referring to here? Shaitan. And so, is that to the degree, and what we learn from that is that we have عِبَادَةَ الرَّحْمَانِ, we'll be protected from عِبَادَةَ الشَّيْطَانِ. The more that we realize our worship of Allah Jalla Jalalu, and we mean by that not only prostrating to Allah, not just prostrating to Allah, all of the other meanings of worship as well. The more is that we are true worshippers of Allah Jalla Jalalu, the more we'll be protected that from that the following of Shaitan. And that's really what we need to, that is the way out, as we will also see in the next verses in Surah An-Nahl. It's establishing our ubudiyah, our servitude to Allah, and that finding great joy in that ya that is connected to the ibadah, finding great joy in that being the ibad that are connected to that ya, that in ibad, that in ibadi, indeed my servants, Allahu Akbar, that Allah Ta'ala, that adafahum ila nafsihi, he affiliated those servants to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the greatest honor of all, is for us to be ibad of Allah. That is the greatest honor of all. Where that if we're going to take pride in anything, we take pride in the fact that we are abid of Allah Jalla Jalalu. Inna ibadi laysa laka alihim sultan, that my servants you have no authority over. Wa kafa bi rabbika wakila, insufficient is your Lord as a trustee. Teaching us what? It's about trust in Allah Jalla Jalalu, as we also see in the other verses. فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, that when you recite the Qur'an, seek refuge in Allah from the repudiated devil. إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ لَهُ سُلْطَانٌ عَلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, indeed that he has no authority over the people who believe, وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ, and who place their trust in their Lord. He has no sultan. إِنَّمَا سُلْطَانُهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ يَتَّوَلَّوْنَهُ, his authority, i.e. that of Shaitan, is over the ones that take him as an ally. يَتَّوَلَّوْنُهُ, they take him as an ally, is that they let him run their affairs. They don't understand the way that these thoughts work, and that they just follow them without scrutinizing them. They don't know what to do that when they're being lured into something that's going to harm them. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِهِ مُشْرِكُونَ, and those who are associating partners through him. And that we should always remember is that in the end of the day, all shaitan can do is whisper. Even the word itself, waswasa, this sounds like whispering. Waswasa sounds like whispering. And that's all he does. All he can do is whisper. In Surah Ibrahim, Allah says, وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانِ لَمَّا قُدِيَ الْأَمْرُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدُكُمْ وَعْدَ الْحَقِّ وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ وَمَا كَانَ لِيَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ إِلَّا أَنْ دَعَوْتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ مَا أَنَا بِمُصْرِخِكُمْ وَمَا أَنْتُمْ بِمُصْرِخِيَّ إِنِّي كَفَرْتُ بِمَا أَشْرَكْتُمُونِي مِنْ قَبْلُ إِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. That translates as, when everything has been decided, Shaytan will say, God gave you a true promise. I too made promises, but they were false ones. I had no power over you except to call you, and you responded to my call. So do not blame me, blame yourselves. I cannot help you, nor can you help me. I reject what you associated, I reject the way you associated me with God before. A bitter torment awaits such wrongdoers. When it's all, فَلَمَّا قُدِيَ الْأَمْرِ, when everything has been decided, when the whole affair is over, is that this is what Shaitan's going to say. And all he did here in this world was just whisper, right? And how many of us, like flies, people who lack substance, fall into the web of Shaitan? As his whispering is just like a spider's web. It is the weakest of houses. As you can blow a web, you just go like this, and the web is damaged. But when we lack substance, is that we get caught in the web of Shaitan. And the greatest way that we can build substance as believers is to that remember to strengthen our iman and to remember Allah Jalla Jalalu often. هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ, this is the straight path. إِشَارَ إِلَى مَا أُحِيدَ إِلَيْهِمْ فِي مِنْ مَعْصِيَةِ الشَّيْطَانِ وَطَعَةِ الرَّحْمَنِ. So what is it referring to here? That the disobedience of Shaitan and that obedience of the All-Merciful, this is the straight path. This will ultimately that lead you to your goal. Allahumma salli sallam alayhi wa alayhi. So it looks like we're going to have to stop there. I wanted to get through a few more verses, but time is up. So may Allah Ta'ala that give us tawfiq inshallah ta'ala, these blessed nights of Ramadan. May Allah tabaraka ta'ala that protect us against the evil of our own selves, and protect us inshallah ta'ala after Ramadan from the evil and the whisperings and insinuations of Shaitan. May Allah tabaraka ta'ala bless us to be that abid of him subhanahu wa ta'ala, complete servants of him. May Allah ta'ala actualize our ibadiyah towards him subhanahu wa ta'ala, to give us tawfiq in all of our different affairs, and bless us to be from the most sincere of servants to him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to protect us from anything that would harm us or distance us from him tabaraka wa ta'ala. And may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that bless us to be able to rely upon him in all of our different estates, in all of our different estates, and protect us from the evil of Shaitan, that which that comes by way of insinuations within us, as well as what comes to us by way of other people. Allah Ta'ala make us firm upon La ilaha illa Muhammad Rasulullah, wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadan wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.